I'm going to talk about something this morning that everybody deals with, I would say, almost every minute of their life. But it's something that I knew at an early age that I really enjoyed. And I knew this probably when I was in middle school, which I can't tell you how many years ago was. But it was numbers. I picked what I wanted to do based on numbers. And your life cannot function without numbers. There's no way to do anything without numbers. We looked at numbers on the way to church this morning. We looked at our speedometer. We looked at our miles per hour. So as I'm giving my talk this morning, I would like you to just think about numbers. Some kids don't like numbers, and some kids do. They don't like mathematics. They don't like science because of the numbers. People are scared of numbers. When I was in college, there's 3 pages of formulas. I think when I was a freshman, first thing they do in Engineering 101 is they give you every formula that you're going to need to know. It's 3 solid pages of formulas. Some formulas take 3 lines to complete. But those formulas give you outcomes of everything that happens engineering-wise throughout your career. I've still got those 3 pages somewhere. I'm not sure I can find them. I'm sure they've yellowed. But everything's about numbers. We have trigonometry, algebra, calculus. They all have purpose. Each one of those terms have purpose. If you think about what you do at your job, if there was no such thing as numbers, could you do your job? Would there be such a thing as golf? No, would not be. Would we keep score? Are we competitive? I'm extremely competitive, and want to apologize to my mom and my wife because I'm a 6%. My personality is 6% of the world, and I'm an analytical mind, and I have practically no emotion, practically zero. I tell the truth, therefore there's questions I don't answer. Because it's hard for me to not tell the truth because of my personality. So usually I'm like a politician and I'll figure out a way not to answer the question. Because I don't want to lie to someone. Well, that's all about numbers. So my mind is numbers. The digital age happened when I was in college, a little bit before college. But a lot of years ago, and my title of my talk is The Bible in Numbers, and I'm just going to go through numbers 1 through 8, and I'm going to start at number 0. The digital age has taken technology to new heights. It's amazing how much can be done so quickly, how huge blocks of information can be stored in a smaller and smaller chip. And I've got a brand new camera, and it has this little dinky chip that I put in it that holds 4 gig. And I remember when I got my first computer, it was 40 meg. 40 meg, that was the maximum that I could get in that computer. It was a screen with just green, and you had to program everything and tell it what to do. Well, now we have these little chips that have 4 gig. The digital info is basically, and if you think about it, this is just zeros. It's 2 numbers, zeros and ones. So we didn't get past the number 1 to make the computer data age happen. Zeros and ones. Computers were not possible without numbers. They're not possible. I have a boy who's a computer science, and he says to me that anything can be hacked because a computer is specifically zeros and ones. That's all it is. No matter what security they put in it, it's strictly zeros and ones. So it's something for you to think about. So what book of the Bible do you think about when you think about numbers? What book of the Bible do you think about? And it's the hardest book of the Bible for me to understand. Being a number geek, being a guy who loves numbers, I have a hard time with this book of the Bible. So people can probably pick it out right away. It's the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations has enormous amount of numbers in it. And a lot of things to me are confusing in the book of Revelations. But in the book of Revelations, there's one number that is the key to the book of Revelations, and that number is 7. So it's a key number in book of Revelations. Chapters 2 and 3 talk about 7 churches. Chapters 4 through 7 talk about 7 seals. Chapters 8 through 11 talk about 7 trumpets are revealed. Chapters 12 through 14 talk about 7 persons. Chapters 15 through 16, 7 bowls. Chapters 17 through 20, 7 judgments. Throughout the Bible, but especially in Revelations, numbers mean things. And I'm going to give you numbers throughout the Bible. Have you ever noticed that you find the organized use of numbers all throughout the universe? Yes, we serve a God of order, design, balance, mathematical precision. And that's what he expects his church to be. That's what he is. Stars and planets. When I was in college, I had to learn about stars and planets. All of our surveying, all of our mapping, all of our GPS, all of our satellite positioning is based on stars. Strictly based on stars. Every position we have throughout the entire world, it started out with the position of the sun and position of stars. We can pinpoint with the position of the stars exactly when Christ died. Exactly. There's a 3-hour gap in the stars when he died. I learned that in college, and that we could actually prove it mathematically in college, that the stars stopped moving for a period of time. God mathematically proved Christ's death based on the stars. Stars move mathematically. Trillions of cells in the body. Think of the number of cells in the body. There's trillions. Yet each has exactly 46 chromosomes. And if it doesn't have 46, it's less or more, then it doesn't function. The body rejects it. The body throws it out. Or you have something wrong. Man did not invent math. I know he thinks he did. Man thinks that he invented math. He did not. And when I was given these 3 pages of formulas, they gave me authors to each one of those formulas. But that was all derived by something that God gave them to test or to study, whether it was the stars, whether it was the earth, whether it was the distance something falls, whether it was time. God gave us the ability to find that out. The authors of the Bible knew that numbers are more than just science. Numbers have a deeper spiritual meaning. God uses numbers throughout the Bible in order to convey deeper spiritual truth. Each number we would talk about has a special meaning, symbolism, significance. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Number one. One in this Bible speaks of unity, primacy. It speaks of God. Number one in the Bible is God. Zechariah 14:9, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and his name one. Ephesians 4:4-6. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When it comes to numbers, God is number one. God is a Trinity. And yet we serve one God. Don't get the idea that we serve three. That's polytheism and that's idolatry. Some churches believe we serve three. We serve one God. We don't serve three. Number two, witness and confirmation. Number two in the Bible is all about witness and confirmation. John 8:17. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. In the Old Testament, it took two witnesses to establish a matter, to confirm something that was true. Business meetings today, one makes a motion, second person seconds the motion. If the motion is not seconded, it dies for lack of second. It takes two to confirm a motion. And if you read meetings of business, the way business is done today, there will always be two people put for a rule or a policy that changes for almost any business today. There's always two people. The Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament tells us what is to come, and the New Testament confirms it. Who is the second person in the Trinity? Jesus Christ. Revelations 1:5, faithful witness. When the disciples went to the empty tomb, how many angels were there to confirm he had indeed risen from the dead? Two angels. 40 days later, Jesus ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives. How many angels were there witnessing the ascension? Two angels. Revelations 11:3, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. When Jesus sent out the 70 to witness, how did he send them? Two by two. That's God's method. It still is the best method. By yourself, you're prone to discouragement, and you're not as bold. I'm not very good on my own, unless you give me math and you give me problems and stuff just based on my personality. But you put somebody with the opposite personality with me, since I can do all analyze and take care of everything, and they can do the emotional stuff. We make a very good team. But one individual doesn't go very far. By yourself, you're prone to discouragement. More than two looks like you're ganging up on them. If you bring more than two people to a meeting, the meeting doesn't go near as well. Two is the number of witness and confirmation. Number three speaks of the Holy Trinity. Number one spoke of the unity of God. Number three speaks of the triunity of God. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 3, starting with verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and to the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The whole Trinity is present. Did you see it? Wasn't it beautiful? I don't understand. I don't understand the Holy Spirit. I don't understand the Trinity. I don't think God made my mind understand that. I can't understand numbers that I can't see. I have faith in the Trinity, and I read that all the Trinity was there. But I don't understand. Some people of the world say that it's not possible because they can't see it. But you have to have faith. And he made our mind so that we can't understand everything. A lot of people skip Revelations because they don't understand it. Revelations 4:8, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Isaiah 6, back in the Old Testament. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled with the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory. We find the Trinity. Now they're saying, Holy, holy, holy for the Trinity of God. Man is created in the image of God. Man is a Trinity. Man is three. Body, soul, and spirit. God created us with body, soul, and spirit. Physical, emotional, and spiritual nature. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he said it right there. We're three. We're a Trinity. We're created in God's image. God also created time. God created a lot of things in threes. Past, present, and future. All are distinct. yet they're part of the same. They're time. None can exist without the other two, or you have no time. None makes sense without the other two. God created space. What is space? Space is three. It's a trinity. Height, width, and depth. Take one of those away, you do not have space. It's zero. Take one of those away, you get zero. Let's go to number four. Number four is the number of earth, world, and creation. Isaiah 11:12, and he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. People say that this is a mistake in the Bible, the four corners of the earth. It says that the earth is square, and I've heard that. But they're wrong. It doesn't make any sense. This was a way to describe the earth, four corners of the earth. It meant north, south, east, west. It meant in every direction. Isaiah himself said in 40:22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. So we find in the Bible that the Bible specifically tells us that the earth is a circle. Isaiah also is using a idiom talking about the four points on a compass, north, south, east, and west. He's saying he'll gather the Jews from every direction when he says the four corners of the earth. Ezekiel 7:2, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, and the end is come upon the four corners of the land. Revelation 7:1, and after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor in the sea, nor on any tree. Revelation 27:8. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. Again, we find the Bible references the four quarters of the earth as the earth. That is the earth in every direction, the number four. We study the history of the world, you find four world empires. I'm not saying there's not more great countries, but there's in history there's just four world empires. And this took me a while to go back in history and to convince myself that that was true, but the more I went back in history, the more I see that that is true. The Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Greek, and the Roman. And the Roman actually breaks itself up a little bit. So you go back in the Bible and you look at Daniel 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream. He saw an image. The head is gold, the Babylonian. The breast and arms are silver, the Medo-Persian. Belly and thighs were brass, the Greek. Legs were iron, which was the Roman Empire. And then we have what about the feet mixed with clay? Well, the Roman Empire is broken up and it becomes 10 nations. But it's still the Roman Empire. If you look into history, it's still part of the Roman Empire. So again, the earth is four. The earth is four, the number of the earth. Four carries additional meanings, but it still references the earth. So multiples of four carry similar meanings. Example, the term 40, the number 40. It rained on Noah 40 days and 40 nights. How long did Nineveh have to repent? 40 days. Jesus fasting in the wilderness, 40 days. Years Jews wandered in the wilderness, 40 years. Okay, let's move on to number 5. 5 and 10 are used the same. 5 and 10 have the same meaning. They can be used interchangeably. Ever heard of the term 5 and dime store? Symbolize fullness and completeness. 5 and 10 are fullness and completeness. A complete person has what? 5 senses, 5 toes, fingers, and they also 10. They also go into 10, 5 and 10. They're completeness. That's a complete person. Revelation 13:1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. 10 horns equals complete. This is the Antichrist. Okay, so what I'm giving you in Revelations is the Antichrist. 10 horns equals complete. Minion during this time was complete. 10 crowns, complete rule. The devil's in rule. Number 6 and 7. 6 is the number of man. I'm not going to speak very long on 6. 6 is the number of man. Man was created on the 6th day. Revelations 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. 666. Okay, again, man is Trinity. Man is made up of three things: a body, soul, and spirit. Okay, so 666. And God created all of those on the 6th day. Man's number is 6. Why 3 sixes? Because we are made in God's image. Number 7 is the number of perfection. This is the number that's going to overcome the completeness of the Antichrist. 7. Revelations 5:6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. If you took this image literally, it would be hideous to look at. Can you imagine what that would look like? Obviously, we're dealing with symbolism again in Revelations. 7 horns speaks of his perfection, perfect power. The Antichrist had 10 horns, which were complete. The Lamb of God has perfect. It's complete, perfect. So we can see the symbolism here. 7 eyes speaks of his perfect omniscience. What a term, omniscience. What does omniscience mean? Has anybody heard 4D? Does 4D really make any sense? You know, you have 3D. Everybody sees on their TV 3D, where you wear the special glasses and you get the special effects and everything. That's 3D. I don't understand what 4D is. But God has 4D. He has omniscience. He has 7 eyes, which is perfection. He sees everything. He sees everything in every direction, all the way through it, and he knows what's going to happen. That's omniscience, 7 eyes. That's 4D. That's what our mind can picture as 4D. He can see everything all at once. That's amazing to think about. How many times did Joshua and his host march around Jericho? 7 times. How many churches are there studying Revelations 2 and 3? 7. Peter asked the Lord about forgiveness. How many times should I forgive my brother? Just 7 times? I think Peter knew that 7 was a magic number, because he said 7 times. And Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. More than you can comprehend. You should always forgive. Endless forgiveness. That would be endless forgiveness. Daniel 9. Daniel said God's prophetic calendar contains 70 weeks of years. That's 70 7-year periods. While 7 is the number of perfection, what do you have when you cut it in half? Okay, so when you cut it in half, you get 3.5, right? 3.5, 3.5, 7. It spells disaster and despair. Disaster and despair. If you find 3.5 in the Bible, 3.5 of anything in the Bible is that disaster and despair. Every time you find it in the Bible, be disaster and despair. When Elijah prayed to God to shut up the heavens and stop the rain, it rained. How many years did the rain stop? 3.5 years. Disaster, despair for 3.5 years. The Antichrist will begin the 7-year tribulation by making a covenant with Israel. He'll break it in 3.5 years, according to the scriptures. He will mimic perfection, and then he will break it in half. Number eight, let's go on to number eight. Number eight is new things. Number eight is the future. 2 Peter 2:5, God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. New things. Eight people were saved by God in that ark. And those eight, God made a new beginning. Brand new beginning. New beginning, eight. Numbers 1 through 8. Number 1, there is a God. Number 2, He has witnessed to us. Number 3, He has manifested Himself in three persons. Number 4, this world is headed for judgment. Number 5, God will finish what He started. Number 6, all men are sinners. Number 7, is a perfect God. Number 8, we can be born again. When we see God's fingerprints all over the world and the nature, when we consider the precision with which the Bible is written and prophecy is fulfilled, it is just another evidence that these are not fables, fairy tales. They are all true. They all have meaning. We serve a God of order, precision, and design. Everything is designed. Everything's precise. Everything's perfect. And He's all about numbers. Everything's about numbers. Throughout the Bible, it's all about numbers. It matters how we have our presence, and it matters what we do. You can be born again. You can be part of the number eight, the new beginning, which is His new law. And you can be newborn. We offer that invitation this morning to give you the opportunity to come forward and be baptized and to be part of His church, be part of His future, as we stand and as we sing.